Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Superintendents Unplugged, In Depth with Davis, the podcast where we'll dive deep into the world of educational leadership. I'm your host, Addison Davis, and I'm thrilled to have you join me as we embark on the inspiring journey together. As a superintendent once myself, I understand the challenges and complexities that come with leading a school district. But what I've come to realize is that there's abundance of amazing work being done by superintendents all across our country. This podcast is a platform to shine a spotlight on their incredible accomplishments and innovative approaches. Each episode will bring you exclusive interviews and superintendents from various districts across our country, both big and small, urban and rural, as they share their personal stories, triumphs, and even their moments of vulnerability. We will explore the strategies they employ to tackle the ever-evolving landscape of education, from fostering equity and inclusivity to embracing technology and preparing students for their future. But this podcast isn't just about showcasing success. It's about fostering a community of educational leaders who can learn from one another, share their experiences, and collectively navigate the complexities of our role. We'll discuss the tough topics as well, the difficult decisions, and the innovative solutions that are transforming education for the better. So while you're an educator, a parent, a student, are simply someone who's passionate about education, this podcast is for you. Superintendents Unplugged is your behind-the-scenes pass to the world of educational leadership, where we uncover the stories that inspire, motivate, and empower every one of us. Get ready to be inspired, challenged, and entertained as we embark on this incredible journey together. I can't wait to introduce you to the remarkable superintendents who are changing the educational landscape one district at a time. Welcome to another episode of Superintendents Unplugged. I'm your host, Addison Davis, here with the Superintendent of the Year, Dr. David Moore from Indian River in Florida. Doc, good to see you, sir.
Absolutely. Good to be here.
You know what? We're from Florida. All right. So Doc was not only the Superintendent of the Year in Florida, but out of 15,000 superintendents in the nation, he was a top four finalist for AASA National Superintendent of the Year. Congrats, Doc.
Thank you, sir. Thank you.
And yesterday he learned he was runner-up, but congratulations. That's a big deal, dude.
Yeah, no, I'm super excited. Just the opportunity to showcase the work that we're doing, I'll take it. Not number one, but top four, 15,000.
That's awesome. Yeah. You know what, Doc? We're from Florida. We're going to ask for a recount, buddy. We want a recount. Without a doubt. You know what? He's number one in my heart, but he is without a doubt. You know what? I superintendent for 9 years. You're going into your fifth year. I got to say, I thought I did some cool things with numbers and analytics, and I moved my district. I don't say this often. I think you beat me.
All right.
You know what? And then, you know, going into Indian River, you're ranked 38th, 39th in the state.
Yep.
And, you know, you come from Miami-Dade running transformation where you didn't have any D&F schools, right? I mean, like, here we go. I mean, how many schools you got in Miami?
100, about 326.
320. And how many did you have?
102.
102, okay. 102 schools under your umbrella. That's larger than most districts across the nation.
Exactly.
No D&Fs.
Yep.
But you get to a point where you say, you know what, Indian River is a match for me. Yep. I'm going to go to Indian River. And let's be clear, David, you could have gone wherever you wanted.
Yeah.
And you matched it up with your skill set. You took it from 38th, 39th to where do they sit today?
Nine.
How do you, I mean, what's the playbook? Because every year you moved it.
So, and we plan on moving it again this year. So the playbook is very, very clear. Our goal is to think faster and make decisions quicker than any other district. And people ask all the time, like, how is it? We're wired to think fast. When I say we've designed the district, yeah, we use data, but we're just not collecting data on academic outcomes. We collect data on adult behavior. We collect data on the efficiency of how meetings are run and how we're pushing out staff to do the right things. So data is important, but we collect data on the things that improve instruction the most. And if you want to improve instruction, it's going in classrooms. Sure. Yeah. You're going to go in classrooms. You're going to provide feedback. But if you can provide that same kind of feedback to how professional development is designed, is it timely? Is it aligned to the things that teachers and principals are going to be doing the next month?
Sure.
A leadership team meeting, leadership team meetings can accelerate student outcomes, or they can make people feel really, really safe for not finding success for kids. So we're very, very intentional. And then we collect that data to make decisions much quicker.
Yeah.
You know, so we're looking at a leadership team meeting. I'll tell you how the instruction is going to be based on how that leadership team meeting is being facilitated. So we hold ourselves to thinking and making decisions as fast as possible.
Love it. I mean, you know, every day and every minute we waste, multiply that by the number of students you serve every single day, yeah. and then multiply that by the number of classrooms they go to every day. And there's just no time. You've got to be fast adopters. Yeah. You've got to be surgical in your approach. And for you, you've done that. Your entire career, your entire story has been about transformation, moving the needle, going into places, Doc, that no one wants to go.
Right.
And you're raising your hand and say, you know what? Pick me. Let's get it done.
Yep. No, I mean, Indian River County was very strategic, as you were saying, and being pushed to be a superintendent. Like, where do I want to go? And then Indian River County was just drastically underperforming. And it was strategically bankrupt, financially bankrupt, academically bankrupt. No clear vision, no intentionality around what was being done. The board, God bless them, was doing everything. They were running the system. They were doing the job of the superintendent, which is not the way it's supposed to be. So I went in there very clear, like, you know, I'm not going to ask for permission.
Put your seatbelt on. Put your chin strap on. And here's a mouthpiece.
Exactly. and that's what it was, right? Right into the pandemic.
Yeah, disrupted.
Right through. Pandemic for me was a huge accelerator because it allowed me to really understand who can do the work and who can talk about the work. And then how do I make those shifts or changes to move the system forward?
Yeah. I mean, listen, your former boss, one of my mentors always said, never waste a what?
Never waste a minute.
And never waste a good crisis.
Yeah.
In those spaces. And he always talks about, you know, the impossible is possible and how do you figure out to go through those things? Well, you've done that. But your path to this isn't like everybody else's path. I mean, counselor, right?
Yep.
I mean, a school counselor side of the work that fell into doing things for students that were underserved and sometimes misunderstood. Yep. Talk a little about that.
So for me, it's just being part of a dynamic team. And I've told the story a bunch of times. When I went I was a counselor at an alternative school, and it was the adults that ultimately change the trajectory of my career, because being a counselor would have been fine with me, but these are kids who are just overaged, undercredited, criminal records, you name it. They have done it, been exposed to it, every reason just to kind of give up on life. But because of these adults, they would do whatever they needed to do. They would meet those kids wherever they were, create a relationship, and then work as a team on what do we have to do? What do we have to design or create to connect and engage and educate this kid? And I was like, damn, this being a part of a team like that with that kind of work is powerful. So my goal was to be the principal of that school. I eventually gotten to be the principal of that school, but when you're finding success, you find success. And when you're being successful, a good leader is going to do what?
That's right.
Give you more responsibilities. And I just kind of continued to move up until transformation office. When I got it, you said no DNF schools, but when I took it over, 65 were below a C, 16 of them were an F. But it's just the same theory of action: is great people, believers in the work, and understand how we're going to connect and engage and flow conversations to understand the truth and make decisions as fast as possible.
Yeah, I mean, you know, going from a counselor to really focusing on kids that need us the most, underserved kids, misunderstood children.
Yep.
And that propelled you to say, you know what? I want and can do more. And you have. I mean, in when you get to, you know, look at Miami and also Indian River, I mean, you've been very strategic about instructional materials. You've been very strategic about assessments. You've been strategic about what professional development looks like, what leadership development looks like. How does all that intersect? Because that's hard to do in isolation, but you've braided all those together to make it a reality.
So we're running 102 schools and wanting to make decisions quick. My goal was to eliminate all of the silos. So we've created what we call dual reporting lines. And if you look at the hierarchy of a district, superintendent, assistant superintendent, you know, principal, assistant principal, all the way down. And you have them kind of cross. If you can align your organization so information is being shared horizontally as well as vertically in the same time, So if you look at the design of my district, it's designed to ensure that we can flow information and use it to make decisions. So across the entire organization, I'm putting like roles together and empowering them to have the dialogue to make the decision and not running a decision all the way up the reporting line. Yeah, yeah.
Time.
Get stuck.
Time kills it.
Yeah. So it's designed in a way so we're always having cross outside of our bureau or office, whatever you want to call it in your district. We have a counterpart in which we're making decisions together.
Right.
For in the best interest of kids. While at the same time, me as the leader, making sure I'm connecting all the way down the organization, right. Having those conversations. So it creates some tension.
Sure.
But tension can be good.
I mean, I'm all about storming, baby.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
No, we are.
One disruptor to another, but you disrupt on behalf of children by putting the systems that you put in place. They just have to make sense that way.
Oh, no, I want the job to be as easy as possible. The one thing that really allowed us to accelerate, we've created the design. The design in Any River is very similar at a much smaller scale, obviously.
Yeah, but I've learned, smaller doesn't mean it's easier.
No, sir, no, it does not. It doesn't. But we also went through and said, who makes what decision?
Yeah.
Which sounds simple, but people really have no idea if they're empowered to make that decision or not. So like, I want to put in job descriptions. I make these decisions. And this person makes these decisions. So if you have an issue,
pretty cool.
Oh no, it you hold them accountable for those decisions. That's not my decision. No, hell no, no. Yeah.
But you're also empowering them, right?
Yeah.
I mean, like, listen, you want to lead, you want to create that autonomy. It's earned, but this is clarity.
Yeah.
I go back, Doc. I love it. I've never thought about that, putting it into a job description, but many leaders, principal supervisors, don't define their roles and their responsibilities.
No, they don't.
They bring clarity, baby. You're bringing clarity to it. There's no questions.
In a lot of organizations, you come in because you want to move so fast. Oh, GM, just find me a job description that kind of matches.
Yeah. Copy, paste, go. This is your title, but you're not going to do it. You're going to do something else.
So we do that. But it is really making sure people understand which decisions they make. And if they don't know who, if that's not a decision they make, they know where to go.
Sure.
And, it does create people who love the work. And you look at the environments in schools and you want people to we talk a lot about ownership, not a lot about accountability, but ownership.
Right.
Because if you own something, you want to take care of it.
Sure.
And the people, they love the work. They love the work because they're empowered to make decisions. They see the difference that they're making. And when something goes wrong, we have to fix it.
That's right.
And they can come together and simply say that decision that we're empowered to make didn't work. So right. What's the next step?
Yeah.
And it just, we don't have hiring issues. We're our staffs are growing leaps and bounds because of the way they think, they connect, they reflect and define the action. It's great.
You know, the speed of the leader, the focus of the leader will echo throughout the entire organization. Exactly. I mean, and I'm not saying this, if you go to a sleepy organization, it can be woke up fast.
Yeah.
I mean, it really can. And you know what, while people, everyone says they won't change until you actually until you actually implement change, and then they want nothing.
Exactly.
But if you show that there's going to be benefits on the long side of it, I mean, look at your district. I mean, think about how many teachers have been probably now qualified for bonus for a high qualified, high impact teachers been identified or any type of bonus structure.
Yeah.
Man, they're like hitting jackpots in Indian River, man.
We took in more money than we've ever taken in for Florida recognition funds.
Right.
Whether it was when I got there, 47% of the schools were in A, were in A or B.
Right.
Now 95%. So it just is.
You know what? I'm going to have to buy you a belt. I used to walk around as if I had a belt, right? Right. But you know what? I'm going to have to buy you a belt.
You're going to throw through notches on it.
Yeah, right. Well, man, listen, man, it's always a pleasure. You've done good work. And you know what? This work isn't easy. And you know what? I have to give love to your family, your wife, because she stands with you and supports you, because this isn't easy. And, mine did as well. But thank you. And, for doing what you do every single day. And still, and for the Indian River, this dude could go anywhere. You know, he chooses to be in that community. This dude can do whatever he wants to go do and lead, but he chooses to lead in this particular region in that community. So Thank you for what you do, Doc. I appreciate it. We definitely unplugged today, baby.
Exactly.
You know what? Until next time, you know what? You know, pay attention to the ones that who don't talk about superintendent, but actually do the superintendent job. This is one right here that's actually done it, man. He's put his shoulder to the wheel. He's focused on the work. And his resume speaks for himself. He don't have to do it. Back to the, you know, back to being able to give to community. Until next time, I look forward to seeing you out there. Pay attention to what Dr. David Moore is doing and the lessons he's teaching children, but also the capacity he's doing to build and thrive in an Indian River. Until next time, I look forward to seeing you in classrooms. I'm your host, Addison Davis.